Welcome everybody, and welcome to a new episode of the ID Element. Today we are in the office of Venki, Program Manager in the SharePoint team. Hi Venki, how's it going?
Hi. I'm sorry.
So we heard that SharePoint is going to have a lot of interesting things about identity, so we managed to get in Venki's office to know more about it. But before everything, we want to know more about the person. So Venki, would you care to explain to us how you got here, like your history with Microsoft so far?
Sure. I joined Microsoft in 2001 in the SharePoint team, the same team I'm in today. I interviewed and joined what was then the portal team. I worked on people stuff, bringing people to portal. And so I've been in the people-centric space from the very beginning. I had the people team. So I've worked on SharePoint for the last three versions, and we have done more and more work on people. And I found that as you do the people features, like profiles and people search and social computing, you can't really build a great feature around people unless you deal with identity, which is the other part. And so I've found myself version over version addressing more and more identity issues, where now in 2010, my team actually owns both the social computing aspects of SharePoint as well as the identity aspects. So that has been my sort of eight-year journey in SharePoint around people.
Fantastic. And I can tell you that the audience of this show is most certainly interested about the second part, the identity. So would you like to go a bit deeper in this? What do we have new for identity in 2010?
Sure. I think the best way to describe our investment in identity is to talk about the kinds of problems that we have to solve for our customers when SharePoint is deployed. SharePoint is now sort of in many ways core enterprise infrastructure for collaboration and for businesses and for business process. And so we live in this very heterogeneous world inside enterprises, and we have to deal with lots and lots of identity issues. We can start with the number of ways you can sign into SharePoint. You have to get identity into SharePoint. You have WebSSO, we have LiveID, we have AD, we have SQL, we have custom, we have LDAP. So there is an near infinite ways in which you can sign into SharePoint. At least people want that. That's what they want us to solve. Not to mention federation and shibboleth, and you name your thing, there is ways to sign in. Then there is the issue of what do you do once you get inside identity inside SharePoint. So how do you deal with authorization? What do you authorize over? And then finally, as you know, SharePoint is a platform that is not just for storing content, but also for bringing information from outside into SharePoint, so from LOB systems. So we want to take that entity from inside SharePoint and send it to an outside backend system like a SAP or a SQL database or a custom, you know, ancient LOB that has been written 25 years ago that you don't care to touch again. So you have sort of all kinds of problems of trying to get identity outside and into SharePoint. So now the thing you want to do is that you don't want to prompt the user at each one of these hops for username and password. That is sort of what we are currently used to in the internet, and it's sort of slowly changing, but in the enterprise there is this generic understanding that you don't do that kind of sign-in. Now everything works great when everything is in Windows and you have a single Active Directory and they're all trusted and the person logs into the domain, into their domain joined machine, and then they access resources, it kind of works quite well. But when you have a heterogeneous system, you start getting into who has the password, do you want to delegate the credential, or you don't want to delegate the credential. So you have this really complicated problem, but the last thing you want to do is to ask username and password of the end user, because you know what he's going to do, he's going to put the same username and password everywhere. And the last thing you want is that scenario where everything is insecure. So the challenge is, how do you make it easy for the IT pro to deploy? How do you make it easy for the end user to consume all this information from different heterogeneous sources, yet not trouble them with prompts and username and password type sort of questions? So that is the world we live in, and that's the sort of challenge we've been facing in 2010, going into 2010 planning. What we did was we looked at the claims-based identity work that was coming out of the identity team at Microsoft, and we found that their sort of conceptual model around identity and claims to be very, very useful for solving this problem. So we thought about how using claims actually helps us think about all these different identity models sort of coming in, going out, to be consistent and standards-based. So when we talk about how we want to interop with other parties, both inside Microsoft and outside Microsoft, we can use standards as an opportunity to sort of do that. So that's the genesis of the work. So that's kind of, does that give you a start for how it works?
Yeah, absolutely. That's
the problem.
That's perfect, because you listed all the typical problems that you have when you deal with identity, so I'd say that SharePoint is the perfect poster child for this. So, it would be great if we could go a bit deeper with this. Like, for example, I see you have a nice white whiteboard, and if you could just see how claims are actually put to work for solving all the issues that you mentioned.
Sure. Let me get on the board. Okay, so let me go back and remind you what I talked about in the beginning. So one is getting identity into SharePoint. Two, identity inside SharePoint. And three, identity out of SharePoint. So basically, you have this thing where SharePoint isn't here, you want to get inside, sort of who goes inside, then you want to sort of deal with identity inside, so you do authorization, you think about sort of what do you know about the user, and then you want to get identity outside, right? And the way we sort of model this whole thing is that the end user is here, and this is the identity provider, so this is the party that decides that challenges the use of credentials. It could be an Active Directory, it could be an ADFS type head, a SAML head. It could be a web SSO product like a Tivoli or some other, yeah. So what we say is, you do the credentials over here, right? Get the credentials and then return the token to SharePoint, and I'll describe that in a second. So that's what the first part is. So this is number one. Number two is, when you're inside SharePoint, what are the claims that you have on the user? How do you sort of add extra claims in order to sort of authorize over things that are not traditionally inside the identity provider? And how do you sort of authorize? So that's number two. So this is number two. And three, you have a database or a web service that you want to call that is an external system, and you want to sort of delegate the user's identity, not credential, delegate the user's identity over to the system so that the system can authorize over your identity and then send back only the information that was requested that they're authorized over, and not try to do a trusted subsystem model. So, which is send all the information and have this guy deal with this thing. So that would be number three. So that's how we sort of talk about the identity system subsystems inside SharePoint. So I'm going to start, I'm going to erase this board, I'm going to start with sort of how we deal with sort of just identity in the first place. So one of the key benefits of getting identity inside SharePoint in a claims-based way is that we have a single object model in which we can treat all the different kinds of identity providers in the same way. So just as an example, let me tell you what was in SharePoint already in 2007. We had Windows. So IIS knew you were a Windows user, and you could get a Windows identity. You could use ASP.NET membership and role providers. And most of you must be familiar with this. This is a pluggable authentication, so you can sort of get challenged by the membership provider for username password. It'll validate the user, and then and the role provider will give you the set of roles on the user, so the sort of the rest of the token. And then there is Anonymous, which is not authenticated. And then there is a sort of a flavor of two, which is sort of what we call web SSO, in which you basically delegate the idea of sort of being able to validate the user to some other URL, and then you do the role provider on the back end to get the rest of the token. So what we did was we basically put claims in the middle as the way to deal with all of these problems. So at a high level, we sort of imagine these are the four boxes. So you said Windows, just for completeness I'll say Anonymous,
actually, let me jump on this for now. We'll say ASP.NET. And web as a, so I'm just going to say SAML token. Right? We take all of these things. I just removed anonymous because sort of really no authentication. So we take all of these guys. And then we, in a fell swoop, we sort of create a SAML-based token. So it's a SAML token. And so we convert, regardless of how you identify each one of these things, we convert that into a SAML token, and then we use the SAML token internally as SharePoint to deal with identity. So this is what then becomes an SP user. And the SP user is the object inside SharePoint that you use to authorize. So so you notice that we convert Windows into ClearSpace Identity. We have created a SAML token for that. We take ASP.NET and we actually convert that into a SAML token as well. And then, of course, given a SAML token from a trusted provider, we can reissue the token as a SharePoint token, and then we can use them all the same way.
And for doing all these, you used the Windows Identity Foundation. You didn't try tablet from scratch, I guess.
Yeah. We are the SharePoint team. We work on lots of interesting things like collaboration and people and search. We are not the identity team. And so this is hard work, and we let the experts work on this thing. We use the Windows Identity Foundation as the building block on which we use to sort of outsource the hard work, the protocol work, to the foundation guys. We use the foundation then so that we can work on this problem, which is our business, so that we're not spending a lot of time on dealing with identity work. We're really dealing, allows us to focus on our own useful value, which is really down here, around authorization and the features that we build. So at a high level, this is the strategy. Now, in terms of how it works, one more level, I'm going to draw one more picture. I'm sure if you guys are going to be at PDC, I have a session where we'll describe this in more detail, we'll do some demos. But let me again describe at a high level sort of what happens. So this is the classic authentication dance that everyone sort of, a lot of people know, but some people don't, but this audience gives insight into the sort of the experts. I'm sure you know, but I'll sort of go through it anyway for completeness. By the way, can you see the multiple?
I can, but I suggest you push a bit more.
Okay. Yeah, sorry about that. That's okay. So I don't have another color, so I'm just going to start going through this thing. So what we do at a high level is we have SharePoint here, right? And built into the inside SharePoint is a SharePoint SDS. So and the SharePoint SDS is based on Windows Identity Foundation. It's, we've sort of derived off it, and we sort of built some special functionality specific to SharePoint. And so the basic model is that SharePoint will only consume tokens issued by the SharePoint SDS, right? So I'm the user, and I go to SharePoint as to get a protected resource. SharePoint will say, hey, look, you're unauthenticated. I'm going to bounce you off to an identity provider. The identity provider may be one of the things we talked about. So I could bounce it off to a page. I could just simply challenge for Windows. I could do a Windows challenge. So this is one. I could redirect to a login page, username, password, that basically talks to an ASP.NET. So this is the ASP.NET membership provider and role provider. Membership provider, so I can validate the user, or I can just simply bounce them off to another SDS, which is an IP SDS, that does its own validation. We don't care how it's done, because there is an underlying trust between these two SDSs, right? So this is basically the conceptual chart that we talked about before, sort of this is what happens. Now, in the Windows case, what happens is the Windows challenge happens, and then the domain join machine will respond back. A Windows identity is formed, that identity is given to SharePoint, the SharePoint SDS, and out pops a claims identity. We call this Windows-claims. And if you look at our the user interface in beta 2, you'll see that this is how it sort of shows up. Now, if you go to ASP.NET and you get into the username and password, that's what in 2007 was called form space auth. You put the username and password in, you hit OK. What happens is we call the STS with the username and password. To be entirely accurate, the STS then calls the ASP.NET membership and role providers. And then the STS will call this thing, it'll get all the roles and membership, and then out pops a claims identity. And then, so that's number two, is ASP.NET. And if it was a sort of federation model, we were doing SAML tokens over WSFed, you will redirect to a IPSTS. This may challenge or this may silently let you in based on what you got. The SAML token comes back, and then we will reissue, and out pops a claims identity. So you'll notice where I'm going with this thing. SharePoint is written against the claims identity object model. And so now, regardless of what the deployment of SharePoint has done, whether they use Windows or they use Forms, what we call FBA, this is called FBA Claims, and or SAML, this is called SAML Claims, in all these cases, the underlying model inside SharePoint is the same, right? And so we have one way, regardless of how you signed in, to deal with the identity of the user. And we do require that you have a user identifier, that's explicitly required. But otherwise, it's basically sort of, this is how it works. So what used to happen before was that we said, if it was Windows, use some API. If it was FBA, use some other API. And if it was neither of the two, then use something else. And what we really wanted to do was to sort of get out of the business and factor the entire identity model outside SharePoint, and so inside SharePoint just use a single model. Now, to be fair, we live in the real world, so we didn't just move entirely all in one go. We still have support for native Windows for customers who already have it, and they don't have a plan to move here. So we actually do support both, and if you look at the build, we also have a mode which is called Windows Classic, which is where we use the native Windows API to deal with identity. So we have both, and it allows us to sort of work with the complexity and the reality of what happens in today's enterprises. And both services as well, because we do support standards, and allows us to sort of natively consume the tokens. So that is what we call incoming claims, step one, which is getting identity into SharePoint. So let me stop here and talk a little bit about doing claims inside SharePoint. So what do we do that identity inside SharePoint? So erase. Okay, so since the beginning of SharePoint, we've always had questions about, can you please make authorization pluggable, right? So authentication is telling me, is Venki who he claims he is? We've got authentication. Authorization is, can Venki access a document or a thing? And so people have said, well, you know, SharePoint, you have three ways to deal with authorization. You have user identity, you have the group membership, and we have another form of group membership, which is the SP groups, that is inside SharePoint. But they've always said, hey, look, can you let me decide what roles a person has? Can there be other principles that we can authorize over? Now, the top one that we've always asked since, I think, version one of SharePoint is, can we authorize over a DL, a distribution list? It's not a security group in the sense that it doesn't show up in the Windows security token, but it is a group that people think of as a real authorization principle, right? They think of it like, this is my team is this and this DL, and I only want people from this team to see it. So we sort of pondered about how to do this problem. And so we hit upon this great idea in when we are issuing our own token. Again, being using the Windows Identity Foundation allowed us to sort of do some extra pluggability. So let me go into SharePoint again. So this is SharePoint. And SharePoint uses SP users to decide who's inside it. So we talked about how there is incoming token, right? Windows, FBA, SAML. This is the STS. And out pops the SharePoint token. So what we did over here is we allowed people to say, you know, you can add some code that the SharePoint STS will call, that if you're writing an application on top of SharePoint and that wants to expose some principles over which you want to authorize inside SharePoint, you're able to do that in here. So you're able to augment extra claims inside the SharePoint token. So why would you want to do that? So imagine you are a CRM application. You are doing great on managing opportunities and contactless and everything else. But then part of the application is to say, I want to collaborate on an RFP document. Now the CRM team could build their own document collaboration system, or they could use SharePoint. So they want to use SharePoint. Now the only thing they want to make sure is that when the workspace gets created in SharePoint, you want to make sure that the same people can access the SharePoint workspace who could access the opportunity object inside the CRM system. So traditionally, what would people do? Well, you could say, well, just please get all the roles, the sales manager, sales executive, can you please output all that to the SharePoint, to the Active Directory, or the directory, not just the necessarily Active Directory, make them principles so that it shows up in the login token, and every Active Domain administrator will be like, hell no, they won't let you do that. So not every application gets to publish all its internal roles. The second thing they could do is to sync all the roles from inside their application inside SharePoint. So you could make an SP group, and you sort of sync everything back and forth. If you've written sync code, you realize it's a thankless task, right? And so the question is, how do you sort of get this role in? So what we said was, how about we have a pluggable system that calls this thing called a claim provider API. Now we realize that claim provider is a very generic word, but that's what we use. And what we do is we call the claim provider API and we give it two things. We say, here's the URI of the original request, and here's the user identity claim. Right? So we say VenkiV wants to access this opportunity, and then we say claim provider, do you have anything interesting to add? Right? So it sort of returns the vector. And so what this guy does is he gets to choose to go inside his database. So in the example of this, the CRM database, and says, okay, Venki is trying to access this opportunity. I know the opportunity because based on the URL of the workspace, I know which opportunity it is. I'm going to look it up, and I find out that Venki is a sales manager and a West Coast sales executive, right? So these are the two claims, roles that are used to authorize inside the CRM system. So he returns those two claims inside as part of the claim provider. The SharePoint SDS now is kind of clever. It says, I'm going to take whatever the incoming claims were over here. So imagine there were 15 claims in the Windows token. We'll add these two. This guy's adding two more. So here we get 15 plus 2 equals 17 claims. Right? So at this point, to a SharePoint application, the SharePoint application, there is no difference between a claim that came from the CRM system and from the identity provider. They're just claims about the user. And so now I can authorize based on the sales manager or the sales executive. They're just the same thing. So what I've done is when I change something over here, the next time he signs in, the new values come in and I'm good to go. Now we don't on demand sort of call back due to performance reasons, but we do on per session sort of have a single token for authorization. So this allows us to do a lot of interesting things when you're building an application on top of SharePoint. This is not a claims transformation engine. We don't pretend to be a claims transformation engine. All we're saying is when you're building an interesting application on top of SharePoint that has roles, you can possibly use this API to add those roles so you can authorize over them. So that is the only thing we've done with respect to authorization. We haven't changed the semantics of authorization, but we've allowed you to just authorize over a lot more things. And then the other interesting part of identity is how do you select them? How do you enumerate them? How do you select them? Often called the people picker problem. So one of the things about the API is that the claim provider actually is, so this is, the API actually is augment. So when you augment, you sort of call in the URL and you get this thing. We also have two more APIs, which is search, sort of string, and we have resolve, which is also a string. And what these allow you to do is it allows you to enumerate the list of claims that match a query, and it's able to resolve an identifier into its sort of binary ID. So this allows you to ACL things into SharePoint using custom claim stores. So if you have the roles, you know, for going back to the CRM example, at runtime, that is at sign-in time, I was able to augment the roles, but I want to be able to put the sales manager into the ACL. So I'm able to pull up the people picker. The people picker is aware of this API and calls them and sort of is now able to enumerate sales roles inside inside your custom database without writing any code on top of SharePoint other than just this thing. So it's actually much better done when you're demoing the thing. But anyway, this allows you to sort of do a couple of extra interesting things, which is it allows you to make the claims that are hidden inside your backend systems available for the user to reason over, and it looks just like something they've already used, which is a people picker, and then we're also able to authorize over them. And then, so I think this is what I want to talk about over here. The final thing is I want to talk about how identity leaves SharePoint. And I wanted to just stop for a second. Victor, do you have any sort of clarifying questions or make sense?
I think you have been exceptionally clear, and I absolutely love how, in this case, you are actually talking about the application of this, because usually all the identity experts talk about this in the most generic way possible, so that it can be applied. And instead, here you are bringing specifically how this stuff solved your problem, and I'm just loving it.
Excellent. Excellent. That's what we like doing. Okay, so the final part is how do you get identity out of SharePoint. So let me start with it's actually just not just SharePoint. How do I get identity sort of like going inside SharePoint is actually the first problem. As you may well be aware, SharePoint is a web cluster-based application, so there's more than one machine that represents what a SharePoint server is. So just for argument's sake, I'm just going to make a very simple three-tier system. I have a web front end, I have an app server, and I have a database server. Right? And so all the crazy stuff I just talked about in terms of getting identity in, so I did it in, identity in. I did some augmentation, I have some cool stuff. Now, the question is, when I want to call the application server, I need to get this identity from here to here, and I need to get it safely. Now, if you're a Windows environment, you would use Kerberos constrained delegation to do this. But that's the way to do it. Nothing wrong with it, it works. It's just hard to maintain and hard to set up, and it turns out from experience that customers don't necessarily love doing it this way. It's a high cost way to do it. So we were thinking, wow, you know, just in order to set up the SharePoint farm, if you need Kerberos constrained delegation, we're really sort of putting a big brake on deployment. But at the same time, sort of delegating that identity over here safely actually is a huge benefit for us. And one of them is performance. So let me give you an example of search. So the search scenario is I come in over here and I say, can you please give me the results for a query? Say, identity SharePoint. That's my query. And I'm trying to get all the documents back. But inside the enterprise, I only want to find documents that are visible by me. So I send the query to the query server. Right, the query server is very good. It goes, looks at the index, and says, let me get all the results that are visible, all the documents that match the query, match the query. Now, if I didn't have delegation over here, what I have to do is then return all of those documents back over here, so that I can do the security trimming over here, which is the only place where I have the identity. Right, because it'll get the documents, it'll send the ACLs back, and if I don't do delegation, I end up having to do the trimming over here. So I've sent all these extra documents that I can't see back over here in order for me to trim it and then send the results back in HTML. So what would be really nice is that out of the box, if I just set up SharePoint, the user identity shows up over here, so the search developer has to simply just know that the identity is present, even though it's in a different box, and keep going from there. So what we've done is, inside SharePoint, we have built all of our services, internal services, that is going from the front end to the back end, using WCF, and we use bindings that are claims bindings that allow us to transfer the identity from here to here. And we use the ActTest functionality in AWS Trust to sort of move the identity from here to here. So we have a SharePoint STS that issues the token, so when you're about to make the call, we take the identity that was on the thread, call the SharePoint STS for the outgoing token, it returns outgoing token, puts it on the wire, shows up over here, and there's the same instance of the SharePoint STS is running on the other machine, this token is then validated by this guy, and the identity is created back again. So as far as the SharePoint developer is concerned, writing code over here and writing code over here are the same. You get the same SP user, you get the same iClaims identity, and you're good to go. So that was the first problem we wanted to solve, which is how do you do delegation inside SharePoint such that code running on every box has access to the end user. So that's sort of what we call scenario A. So this is outgoing identity. Right? And I kind of cheated because I said I'll say how about identity leaves SharePoint, but this is really how identity leaves one box and shows up another box safely. So, and the thing over here is that these two STSs are basically the same STS because they have a single cert inside the config database. Now let's go a little bit more interesting. So if I want to then call a web service that is outside SharePoint and wants to do something, then I say, okay, here is SharePoint. I have the incoming identity. I do the augmentation. And now what we do is we do the following. So here's my external web service. And that is fronting a database of some kind that has some juicy information for me to get to. So how do I do this? So we have a couple of ways we can do it. The one we'll describe in PDC is how to use BCS, which is a business connectivity services, and the built-in identity support inside it that includes support for all those claims identity model to sort of make the transition. So what happens over here is that I have some code that's running over here. So it wants to call this web service and it's now ready to go. So the binding of this web service in the WSDL, or in the bindings, tells it, hey, look, this guy wants to get a token from the SharePoint STS. Right? So this is the most trivial example of this thing. So this proxy over here knows that it has to get a token. It has to present a token from the SharePoint STS to this guy so that he can authorize. So the code, much like in the previous example, goes over here, gets the SharePoint token, gets it back, puts it on the wire, sends it over to this guy. This guy then, because he's expecting a token from this STS, can create the user identity. I should use this. So now create the user identity, does his authorization, looks up inside the database, does authorization for what this guy can see, and sends it back. Right? So that is the simple model. Now, the beautiful thing about this claims-based model is that it's kind of extensible, where you can add extra hops to do more transformation. So now imagine I change this a little bit. I say what this guy needs is a token from his own STS, right? He's a relying party, he has his own STS. And now he says, look, this guy knows about the claims I need. I don't understand any claims you give me, but this is a claims transformation engine, and it can reason about the claim. So what happens is, now, this stuff is set up in the binding, so when the code over here wants to call this guy, it does a few more hops. He calls the SharePoint STS, gets the token, now presents that token to this guy, who then does some thinking. How do you do thinking? Anyway, he does some thinking, right? And then, for a classic example would be, here I have a live identity, so I have venkiv@live.com. I send it over here. This STS knows that, or venkiv@contoso.com. This STS knows that venkiv@contoso.com is the same as contoso backwack venkiv because it's an NT situation. So he converts the venkiv@contoso.com into an NT identity, which is contoso venkiv. Right? Sticks it back in the, creates now a new token, sends it back to this guy. Now we make the sort of call, which now with this identity issued by the RPSTS to this guy. So this guy now can authorize over Contoso VenkiV and has to have no knowledge about Venkiv@contoso.com because that's not relevant. So all of a sudden we have this situation where, notice what happened here. I'm the end user. I have a big smiley face because I'll tell you why I have a big smiley face. I logged in over here for my session. I went to one application. I picked up some claims about myself from another application, the CRM system. It did some authorization. And then in order to complete the last of the workflow, my task, it was able to get another identity, go to an external web service, get all this information, and show it all, and here's my beautiful web page with the list of things that I cared about. I never entered a single password, and I did all this safely and securely. So that's what we did. So this is all in SharePoint 2010, and obviously there's a lot more to it than just what I just said, but this is sort of how it works. Our sessions will show and demo more of the details in here, but this is sort of really the power of doing identity using claims. Now the benefit of all this stuff is that since these tokens are all standard, we can start saying, hey, look, here's an external system. Do you support SAML tokens? Do you support WSPED? Do you support WS Trust? And if you're protocol compliant, we can start making this thing work, and we don't have to worry about whether they support some specific thing. So we found that a lot of the big customers have lots of backend systems. They all support different levels of protocols, and so it's a continuum of sort of how we move to this claims-based identity system, but we have sort of support for the most advanced users as well.
That was awesome, especially in this last picture in which you have shown all the way from the user to how the identity flows through various tiers, how you took advantage of Actes. This is beautiful. And that was really, really great. So if you have any final thought, since I know that we are abusing of your time and I don't want to keep you much longer.
I'd say doing this stuff, it's not, it's actually quite detailed. There's a lot of details that go into this stuff. We are trying to do all that hard work, and we spent now, I think this is the first time I talked to Kim, Cameron, probably about 3 years ago. It's taken us over 3 years to get this stuff right. Plumbed into SharePoint, productized, and everything else. It is really hard plumbing work. But I'm really glad that we've done the hard plumbing work, because then when you are, as the developer that's building solutions on top of SharePoint, you get to use this stuff sometimes with writing code, sometimes even declaratively. And in PDC, we'll show some declarative ways in which you can do this kind of scenario just using BCS. So we are really trying to make sure that the benefits of the claims-based identity sort of shows up without you trying to understand all the complexities behind it. I'm personally very proud of this work, because I think it really helps a lot of customer scenarios and developer scenarios happen.
You certainly have all the reasons for being proud. And of course, what you said just applies for Windows Identity Foundation developers as well. Because at this point, if you wrote your web service taking advantage of your own SDS, you can just plug it in and make it available to a SharePoint architecture without really much effort, since Vanky here already did that for you. And on that note, I'd really like to thank you for this. This was super interesting. And we'll be looking forward for the RTM of SharePoint 2010, of course.
Yes, me too. Thanks. See you.
Thank you. See ya. Bye-bye.